Oh, well.
We are actually.
Are we actually on?
Yeah, we are. We're live. We're live. We're doing it live.
Oh, fuck. We're doing it live. Fuck well, it.
Not really. I edited it. But. All the same. We got a slow fucking week this week, man.
Yeah, well, coming back out of the international break. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's always
disappointing. And then the first games at FA Cup, so.
Yeah, well, that's it. We had, what? Four games in the FA Cup.
Quarterfinals, yep.
We had a couple games this morning, which we'll get into next week, but we'll look at our fantasy for this week and probably comment on it a bit.
Yeah.
But jump into some gossip for the week.
Let's do it.
Even that's a bit short. Dude, these guys are like playing football instead of fucking around.
Well, it's an international break also goes with, what are we doing? Gossip as well. Well, so everybody's taking a break.
Yeah, but normally at least some baby mama comes out and just starts talking about, you know, how somebody owes her money.
We need T-Bar Courtois to get his fucking big fingers.
Surely he's got more.
He's got baby mamas out there.
I'm doing a deep dive. But look, first update following from last week. So Trent, obviously, you know, making the news, moving to Real Madrid. They put out how much money he was earning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Real Madrid and TAA's agent has come out and said that there is no agreement with Real Madrid. And, you know, Trent's now upset about the reaction of the fans.
What was he expecting?
Well, that's what I mean.
What, did he want him to be like, oh, well done. Thanks for your service. Go enjoy Real Madrid. We love you.
Yeah,
here's a statue.
This is what I can't understand. What the, you know, his reaction to it was like, oh, you know, people. But like, look, to be fair, it is obviously the 1% that's online that are reacting this way, and it's not everyone. Like, obviously, there's disappointment. Not everyone's burning their jerseys like the people online, which is psychotic, to be fair.
Yeah.
Like, burning your jersey. One, you paid money for that.
Two, it's not that big of a deal where you have to burn the guy's jersey.
Yeah,
it's like if he went to Everton, right? Like when Figo went from Barca to Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Massive, right? That was huge. Totally understand him burning his jersey. Don't want to Real Madrid from Liverpool. Like, it's not major internal rival. So,
correct.
I understand they're upset. I'm burning my jersey over it, though.
No, dude. It might be worth some money.
Yeah, exactly.
But the update comes. So, obviously, look, they've come out. They said there's no agreement with Real Madrid and Trent as of yet. But it's a saga that's been going on for 8 months. So, obviously, they've been in discussions, and I'm sure there's something. Doesn't mean he's staying. However, Salah just goes and throws some fucking petrol on the fire this week.
Oh, what'd he do?
Well, he's posted up on his Instagram, the most cryptic Instagram story possible.
Mm.
So it's Salah, Dominic Szoboszlai, and Konate, mm-hmm. along with Trent, all sitting on Salah's couch having a chat.
Mm.
So they've all come back from international break. Now they've all like met up and they're just sitting on there and he's posted this cryptic Instagram story. Is he staying? Is he going? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, further unfolds. You know, videos of the on the LFC kind of stories and homepage, they always have reels and stories up of the guys all meeting up around the coffee bar that mm-hmm. they have at the training center.
Oh, yeah.
And they're always like chatting and stuff. And then everyone stopped the photos and seen McAllister's face or like grumpy, like, yo, he even wants him out of here. I'm like, this is just. The people have so much time on their hands to break it down. So, look, who knows what's happening? Obviously, there's no real cement agreement put in place, but I'm under the impression that
I think 90% of people are under the impression
that he's leaving. If he wasn't leaving, he'd just go straight up on Instagram, straight up on Twitter, anywhere it is going, I'm not going.
Or at least doing some sort of press.
Yeah, correct.
There's been no press. Like, there's literally been no press about anything. So everybody's under the assumption that he's going to be leaving. I think it's just a matter of time. Why they're all denying that it's being done at this stage is weird. I don't know whether because it's still in the middle of the season. Obviously, you guys have the title to fight for. Well, Real Madrid also are on the three title fronts. They've gone for the treble. They just made the Copa del Rey final today. They're in the quarterfinals for the Champions League, and they're 3 points off Barcelona. So maybe it's just to not cause any like disruption.
They've got to keep their mind on that Arsenal game, man. Really just smoke the shit out of them.
We'll see next week. Next Wednesday is that game. So yeah. We'll see then.
I'm sure there'll be another update for Trent then too.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah. But oh, Trent takes a shit. Is he going to Real Madrid?
Yeah. Just some guy's getting a photo of him on the toilet.
He's
yeah. Oh, hey, get the fuck out of here. What does that mean?
Oh, he had paella.
Yeah,
he's going to Real Madrid.
He had a bad paella. He's not going to Real Madrid. He realized it doesn't agree with his stomach. I also love the rumors that keep coming out that it's like confirmed that he is going to Real Madrid so he can find some Latino baddies.
Latino baddies.
Yeah.
I hope he's not finding Latino baddies because that would be weird.
Yeah.
I mean
Mbappe.
Not there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah. Each to their own. But look, let's move on to your team.
Yeah.
Making the news this week.
Not good news. As it's been for probably the past 4 months.
Well, I mean, look, there's two pieces of news, right? Mm-hmm. One, not so good news, and the other one, usual news.
Yeah. Let's start with the not so good news.
All right. Well, the not so good news is the Chelsea. So you had a training match against your under 21s, which also included a lot of the under 16s
yep.
squad as well. You guys lose 3-0
mm-hmm.
in that training match.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you know. Understandably, Maresca's not happy with the performance they've put in. So cancelled the team scheduled day off and made him come in and train.
Hey, you lose 3-0 to under 16s, you're a professional player, you lose your rights to a day off.
The funny thing I did find about this, they go, well, I mean, given the average age of the players in there, they're not much older than the 21s anyway.
That's so, a good point.
You know,
it'll be interesting to know which first team players were in that.
Because there was still players on international duty.
Yeah, there was a lot of... We have a lot of players on international. Plus, we had players injured as well. So it would have been interesting to know who was actually playing in that first team. But still, you can't be losing 3-0 to under 16s.
No. Well, I mean, you're essentially saying that these players are not good enough to make your first team squad.
Mm-hmm.
But they're able to beat your first team.
Mm-hmm.
It's a crazy situation for the team to be in. And 3-0 as well.
Yeah.
So you're one incapable of scoring.
Yeah.
Madueke was there, right?
No, he's coming back. He didn't play in that. He's coming back not against Spurs. I think he might be back against Spurs.
Nkunku would have been there then. He's not in the French squad.
Nkunku would have been there. I have a feeling that like Trevor Chalobah might have been there. It would have been Robert Sanchez in goals as well. Which would have been interesting.
Well, I mean, Sancho, you've got eight keepers, so it could have been any one of
them.
Yeah,
that's true, yeah. Sancho was probably playing.
Loved that guy when he first came.
When he first came, he looked like he had a fucking rocket up his ass, and we were going to get him for 20 mil, which was a great deal for a young English player.
Yeah, now you'd pay 20 mil to
sell
him back.
Now you pay 20 mil to sell him to BVB, because apparently that's where he wants to go.
Well, that's probably the last time he's played good, right?
That's the only time he's played good.
Yeah, true.
Both stints at BVB is the only time he's played good. But there is another, like, I don't want to like take away from Chelsea sucking at the moment, but did you also see that Man U had a game against their under-15s and they conceded in the first, I think, 10 minutes and Amorim stormed off?
As you should, dude.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. You're supposed to be professional players. You should be able to just destroy them.
You should be able to put in a good competitive performance against kids. Shows,
there's so much dysfunction within the team.
They don't
play as a team.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to play as individuals, and these under 16s and under 21 teams are all playing as a team because that's all they have.
Yeah,
they don't have egos.
Yeah.
They don't have egos, well, yet.
Not yet, yeah.
Not yet, but, you know, I mean, well, there was that story of, was it a 19-year-old from Man U, crashed his car, and looks like he's going to be going to jail?
Brandon Williams? No. Yeah. Was it Brandon Williams?
Not 100%. I sent it across to you today.
Brandon Williams.
Brandon Williams, yeah.
The youngster,
the 19-year-old is up and coming, was dating a hot influencer.
Brandon Williams.
Yeah, he was
Brandon or Braden, one of those two.
Yeah, and he's gone and caused a crash at like 90 miles an hour. No one was hurt or killed.
Still, 90 miles an hour. That's like over 180, it's like 150K, 160K. And that's crazy, bro.
And he's crashed it on the highway, and now it looks like he may go to jail.
Possibly, yeah. What
a way to ruin your career at 19, dude. But then I also love the photos that come out. It's just him with like Sancho and Paul Pogba. and Rashford. I'm
two,
like,
the three massive troublemakers.
Yeah. Great, because all their careers are going great.
Yeah.
Let's follow them.
Hey, Rashford's doing okay. He's making bank and playing at Villa on loan.
Yeah, because he got fucking loaned out for half of his salary. Someone's like, I'll pay you to leave. This is insane, right? Like, how...
I'm used to it. I'm a Chelsea boy, bro. We're used to that shit.
Yeah, but that's less the player's fault, more the club's fault.
Yes.
This is the player's fault. Rashford has the ability to be good.
Mm.
And he proceeds.
He just chooses not to.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He chooses not to try.
Until it's contract time.
Yeah, exactly. But then, look, onto the more usual news for Chelsea. They've now found a loophole with the... Which I'm sure
they're
now
they're fucking good at these loopholes. There will
now be another rule change. You guys love getting rules changed.
Hey, we're just forward thinkers. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So the Chelsea revealed they've sold your women's team to the club's parent company, right, to avoid the potential breaches for any profitability and sustainability rules. So the club have posted a pre-tax profit of $128.4 million for the year ending June 30, 2024.
Ching ching.
They sold this club.
Ching ching.
Which is worth nothing to their parent company for hundreds of millions.
Ching ching, baby.
It's insane how you guys keep finding these loopholes.
Bro, they're just, I reckon they just have like, okay, we need to make this money. How are we going to do it? And they've just got fucking shit tons of lawyers.
Oh, yeah.
Shit tons of accountants. And they're just like, how can we work this out?
Oh, yeah.
And they do it.
Oh, look, 100%. So they've gone out to the accountants and the lawyers and they go, we're kind of fucked here, man. What do we do,
what do we need?
Get out of this?
Yeah.
It's like, well, you need 200 million. What do we have that's worth 200 million?
Nothing. I mean, the women's club is worth like 20. Yeah. Add another zero to it.
Yeah. Oops.
Who are we going to... Ooh, this is an accounting error.
Yeah. It looks like we've got to sell the women's team. Who the fuck is going to buy that, man?
I'll buy it.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Some guy in a dark corner in the side. I'll buy it.
I'm your parent company.
Yeah. Sell it to me, son. It's real creepy.
But look, this
Palpatine, bro.
This is going to set us up for next year. Because next year, obviously, we're looking to be in the Champions League, which would be a nice little win.
We've already spent money
on those kids from Benfica.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have. But apparently, now this is just a rumor that's I've come across. Caicedo to Al Nassr, Ronaldo's team, for 150 million.
I mean,
I don't. I,
well,
I'm not going
to really make 35 million off that.
We would only make 35 off that, but still, we would get in some profit because the way that we would pay Brighton would be over like a long period of time. That's how we did all of our transfers.
And then the Saudis pay up front.
Saudis will probably pay most of it up front, if not all of it up front. They're Saudis, bro. I'm sure they've got some way of working it out.
Sell some oil.
here's one barrel, Caicedo.
Yeah.
Here's another barrel, Ronaldo's money. So,
it's just,
we are going to go on like a bit of a selling fest as well. We have a lot of players that we're going to sell. So this will help us in trying to find the players that Maresca wants / who the club wants. So it'll be interesting, but it'll all depend on how we go. We still need to finish top four.
Yeah, of course.
And at the moment, not looking good. I'm not putting us for top four at the moment.
Right? Like, we've all seen how much money you guys, like any club loses.
It's massive.
And it's also...
It's hundreds of millions.
The capacity to get players.
Yes.
Because you're going to have a situation where players are obviously going to want to... You're not going to be able to... You're going to have to do what Chelsea's been doing and just keep buying these youth players and just being like, please?
Yeah.
You know, and to be fair, has it really worked out yet?
Look, the only ones that's really worked out with, obviously Cole Palmer.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would start of the season.
I would put down Nicholas Jackson has been a success for us.
Yeah, it took him some time, but he's gotten there.
Yeah.
But that's more his link up with Cole Palmer as well.
Correct, yeah. But then you look at like I think Caicedo, obviously he was worth a lot of money. But again, him being 22, playing in that role has been really helpful for us. Look, I don't think Enzo, none of our defenders, like I think Colwell was meant to be like, him and Fofana were meant to be like the next year, big things. Colwell has gone backwards from last year and Fofana is always injured. So I would put those three down as like our only ones out of the fucking 30 signings that we've had. I've got three that have been successful.
Yeah, and but that's what I mean. This is the high risk kind of situation.
I guess Gusto as well. Put down Gusto as well.
Yeah, he's hot and cold.
Hot and cold.
He's hot and cold.
He did well last year. I think this year with Reece James back, it's kind of stifled him a bit, which is fair enough. But let's go 3.5 out of the 30 signings that we've had.
Yeah, look, I still don't think it's the right way to run the club, personally.
No.
Right? I mean, what do I...
Well, I mean...
To buy a club. But, I mean, it just seems like a high-risk situation where it could all blow up, right?
Well, their thinking is... Okay, if we sign these young players for big money, right, and let's say that we need money, you can still sell them at like a profit or close to what we bought them for because they're going to be young with lots of years on their contract. That's their thinking, okay? I'm not going to say that's how it should work. Personally, I prefer Roman Abramovich's way, which is finding good set players, ready players for a decent price. We did it.
Well, yeah.
We did that with so many players. Like, you look at, like...
I mean, stop trying to do all this bullshit where you're essentially just running a business
and trying to find
loopholes
like.
To be able to, you know, increase the amount you can spend.
Yep.
And constantly spending on these players. To be fair, I mean, you surely don't know every player that's in that professional school, in their first team.
You couldn't.
You couldn't.
You couldn't.
What do you got, 46 or something now, or 44?
In total? Yeah. Like, even out on loan? We're up to, if we're including who's out on loan, we're up to like maybe 50 or 60.
It's insane.
Yeah.
It's I don't know. It seems like a weird way to run the club.
It is a very weird way to run the club. You know, bro, we have eight goalkeepers. You know what I mean? Like, bro, who has eight goalkeepers?
And none of them are good.
Yeah. Well, Petrovic is playing all right for Strasbourg, and the rumour is that he will be our first keeper.
Well, you do have that
year.
Other guy who's the captain of Strasbourg now.
Santos.
Yeah.
He's good. He's a midfielder too, and there's big raps on him to perform for us next year. So it's him. Then we've got that. There's a young Brazilian kid as well who we've got who's playing in Brazil for Palmeiras. He's coming over next year in December 20th.
But
that's
January
26th.
And you're still buying more players.
Yes, and we've still got those two young Benfica kids coming over as well, which I think we've signed for 70 million in total.
Imagine that, though. You're there. He's like, all right, I think I've made it into the squad. Like, six players have just arrived that play in your position.
Yeah.
So all the challenge that I had for last year to beat out those players, I've now got to do it again.
One of the Benfica players is coming next year. The other one's staying out on loan.
Yeah.
So he's going to come in 26. This is how forward-thinking they are. Like, bro, they're so forward-thinking. They're going back fucking a year and... They're thinking a year and a half ahead. Like, who they're going to keep, sell, and blah, blah, blah. Anyway. Let's not talk about Chelsea. I'll go on forever about it.
Yeah. I'll go on forever until I cry.
Literally could go on forever because there's that many fucking players.
Yeah. And as we've spoken, they've signed four new players. All right, moving on to some other gossip. Now, this one's kind of funny. And it does lean to the whole African... Kind of,
we're going back to the Africa.
We're going back to the Africa continent just to see the unprofessionalism that goes on. So a video has emerged this week of a Kenyan goalkeeper, Patrick Matasi.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like the most clear video of corruption you ever see. It's him sitting in the back of a car while a man off camera starts essentially going, me and you have always had a good relationship, right? You know, here's a few things that I need. So he's now been accused of match fixing.
Oh.
Because the secret recording was leaked, allegedly showing him negotiate a deal to manipulate the outcome of a game. Right? Now,
it's a match fix.
Yeah, pretty much. Right? Now, and you think, how much sway can a keeper really have? Until you kind of see the game, and I'm sure if we can find it, we'll post it up on Instagram.
Yeah.
But in the game, right, which happened later that week, he conceded a last-minute goal where the ball essentially just rolled past him. So
it was a pathetic attempt.
Yeah, it comes in nice and slow, and he does one of those dives. He's like, eh.
Yeah, it's like I'm trying, but not really.
Yeah, and oh, it's so close. Oh, damn.
It's so close, but I can't reach my arms out any further.
Yeah. It's like I'm Jordan Pickford, and I have T-Rex arms. So, I mean, look, it just goes back, right? Jamie Carragher's comments about, you know, African Cup of Nations not being a professional tournament. I get it that they're angry over it. But this shit keeps happening, dude.
It happens a lot.
It happens frequently.
It does happen a lot. I mean, it's not as well
run.
No, look, I think he's wrong in saying that the way that the African Cup of Nations is run was, we'll call it rude, right? I mean, it is professional, but obviously it out of the continents, it's probably the least well run. I get that.
Oh, right. For sure.
But
I mean,
this does not help when you see clear, like you said, like we will put it on Instagram, but we'll find the video and I'll put it up. But it shows clear as day corruption, match fixing.
But it's also, who the fuck is filming this?
Probably his his manager or something.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
He's going to scam his own client. Yeah, like, that's how corrupt they are.
Oh, it's kind of ridiculous. You just have to laugh.
Nah.
Right?
But yeah, we will put it up because it's quite blatant.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. It's blatant, and It's not even well hidden.
No, it's not.
It's not. It's just
he might
just,
as well have a fucking camera like and a microphone like this and a camera in his face. Dude, like, will you fix this match?
Yes.
We have a very good relationship, and I really want to keep the relationship going. Here's a bag of money.
No, with a dollar sign on it.
Dude, it would have been better. It's like, as the goal went in, the guy's just standing behind the goal, and he goes, here you go. Just gets him a bag of cash. You know?
Just a guy in, like, a trench coat and sunglasses hands him a briefcase and just walks off suspiciously. Who's that guy? I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's get that briefcase. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I need to leave now.
All right, look, last bit of gossip before we jump over and we talk about the FA Cup.
Yes, FA Cup.
Qatar Sports Investment. So they're the owners of PSG.
The Saudis, yep.
They're now in negotiations and targeting to purchase Malaga.
Malaga, yeah.
So it was an ex-La Liga team. Now, I mean, one point in time, they're actually quite decent, right? They got to the quarterfinals of the Champions League in 2013.
Malaga used to have... I'm going to have a look just while you're talking, but they used to have some good players in that team.
Dude, they were a decent club, right? Then obviously they went into a bit of disarray. And I think kind of what happens with a lot of these lower level La Liga teams, they get a decent squad, then they sell them all. And then they struggle to recoup the players.
Which happens a lot. It happens a lot.
Look, 100%.
Look like Leicester. So to them.
Since they were kind of in that 2013 Champions League, they've then dropped to the third division in Spain.
Yep.
And have just recently come back up into the second division. This is where Malaga's looking to this is where Qatar Sports Investment is looking to purchase them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a speculated fee of 100 million for the club. I mean, if they can kind of get back into Champions League, it's pretty cheap.
Players are more expensive than that.
Well, that's
true. You could buy one player for more than the whole fucking club.
Ishak is worth almost double their club. Because, I mean, it came out this week, Ishak, 180 million. That's the fee.
Is that what they're asking
Newcastle
for?
Wants, and apparently Liverpool won't pay that.
I wouldn't be paying that either. No. That's a lot of money.
I mean, look, yeah, he's good.
He's
good, and he gets goals. But 180 million?
That's Mbappe.
That's guaranteeing you a championship.
Let me just ask you this question. Who's better, Mbappe or Ishak?
Ooh, that's a tough question.
Is it?
I think so, yeah.
I would have
Who would you rather have in your squad? I'd rather have Ishak over Mbappe.
I'd rather have Mbappe. He can do everything. He's led the line on international stages. He's won multiple titles. You can just see in his goals as well. Like, he's already racked up the same amount of goals that Ronaldo had in his debut season for Real Madrid.
All right. Look.
I've got it. So back to Malaga. So these are just some of the players that they used to have. Willy Caballero, right? He was their keeper. Martin De Michelis, remember him? He went to City.
De Michelis, yeah.
De Michelis, yep, he was there. There was also Isco. Isco came from Malaga. And then there was one more, Julio Baptista. He played for like Real Madrid and all that shit.
Yeah, yeah, I remember Baptista.
Decent player. So look, they had, and then Roque Santa Cruz.
Oh, Roque Santa Cruz.
Roque
dude.
Santa Cruz, yeah.
He was like a cult. He's like a cult following of that player, right? Like
yes.
He was never really like.
He was good.
He was good, but the name that he had was bigger than kind of the player he was.
And Manuel Pellegrini was their manager.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
Correct.
Of why they were up there. Obviously, they lose all those players. They don't back them up. And then you end up in the third division.
You lose your keeper, your center back, your midfielder, and your manager. But it's going to ruin any club.
Yes. 100%. But look, I mean, if the Qataris buy them, I think that they'll, one, get back into the Champions League because they'll dump into a bunch
Well, then it's going to be a case of... Because this is what's happening with Chelsea at the moment is that if Strasbourg gets into the Champions League, they're fifth at the moment. If Strasbourg finish higher than Chelsea, they take Chelsea's spot because you can only have one club per owner.
Really?
Yes.
I know that they've said that in the Club World Cup. Is that the same for the Champions League?
I think it's the Champions League, yeah. Because think about it. What other clubs have always had like two owners, like one owner with two clubs?
Red Bull?
They've never Red Bull have had
two teams in there.
Yeah, they have. I'll have to look into that.
Yeah,
I saw something about Strasbourg taking Chelsea's spot. because they're killing at the moment. But anyway, let's get into the FA Cup.
FA Cup. Hey, it was some good games, but before we go and analyze the games, let's go into your predictions.
Yes.
And you were damn close, dude.
I was damn close.
You were
you
were actually almost on the ball. So you got one.
I got one, yeah.
So Bournemouth versus City.
Yep.
To be fair, I had Bournemouth. I was more of a hope.
Yeah. that was more of a hate. That was a hate tip.
Yeah, fuck City, dude. But you know, you had City to win 2-1. You got that right.
Yes.
Then you had in Preston and Villa. Villa won 3-0. You said Villa 3-1.
And Preston had a good chance.
They did. And then in the Brighton and Forest game, ended 0-0.
Yes.
Went to penalties. You picked Brighton 1-0. They had a disallowed goal in the game.
That's the penalty.
Yeah.
The penalty disallowed. Oh, so penalty reversed.
Reversed. But then they also had a goal that was overturned from offside extra time.
Yes, they did. Yes.
And then, look, the one you were way off on was the Fulham Palace.
The Fulham Palace one, I was so confident. I had a down pat. It was going to be 1-1. We're going to get penalties. Palace are going to win on penalties. Blah, blah, blah. Obviously, that didn't happen. I still got Palace. I said they'd go through. That was about it. But, look, that Palace game was just, it was the Eze show.
Man, I think he dropped off for a bit, Eze, and he's really come back at the end of this season.
I think he's found, because he was doing the same things. He was finding space, he was ripping players, he was doing the right things, he just wasn't getting the goals or assists.
Yeah.
This game, he got a goal and an assist.
Yeah. And, his goal.
We're within 4 minutes of each other, by the way.
His goal was beautiful.
Oh, his goal where he gets the ball, cuts out, and just bends it into the bottom corner. Literally insane. Comes off the post and goes right in the bottom corner.
Completely insane. Then you have, obviously, his assist for the Ismaïl Assar goal.
Oh.
Which was a pretty easy goal for Ismaïl Assar to finish.
But it was the assist. Yeah, it was Eze.
Rips the player out wide, gets the ball in.
Cuts it and just goes straight in,
And then Nketiah. He's really picked up. He was struggling to score.
Yep.
He got his probably one lucky goal. It's given him the confidence. What's he got now? Like 3-4 or something?
Nketiah? I'll tell you right.
In all competitions, I think he's 3-4 or 3-5.
I will tell you right now. Edward Nketiah. So recently, he's got 3-5.
3-5.
Hey, not bad.
Hey, that's pretty
not bad. Three goals in five games.
Pretty good.
And actually, you know what? 3-4, because the one game that counted was a friendly game. So 3-4, you're right.
Yeah. I love being right.
It doesn't happen very often.
But to be fair, if you look at the stats in the game, it should not have been this one-sided, right?
Bro.
Fulham had 16 shots, only managed 3 on target, which is pretty dismal.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Zero on target. Like, again, fuck all on target.
Like we've been saying about Fulham, they just play the version of football of who they're playing.
Mm.
And to be fair, Palace pay Palace football the best.
Yeah.
Because, look, Fulham, I think, 71% possession. They had 622 passes to Palace's 263.
I think Palace can be defined in one word, efficient.
Dude, not on passing. They had 268% completion rate on 263.
More like their shots. So, like you said,
shots. Their conversion rate's great.
So, just from what I got, 8 shots, 6 on target, 3 big chances.
Yeah.
So of those 8 shots,
their
creation, 3 were
their creation 3
were
better.
Were but big chances.
But I mean, I think it's the lack of probably an out and out attacking player for Fulham. Whereas if you look at Palace, they've got Mateta up there, Ismaïl Assar's there, Eze's there.
Well, so I'm just looking at the lineup that they had. So this was their front four for Fulham. So it was Pereira, who's been up and down. They had Iwobi playing in the middle, which I don't think is the way to go. He's obviously an out-wide player. But then they had Willian. Willian's back there. Bro, the guy's fucking, what is he, 36, and he's back at Fulham again. And then you had Mudiyus up front. Not bad. Not their best, though.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, if you're comparing it to, obviously, the efficiency that Palace has, you got Eze, Mateta, Ismaïl Assar up front.
They played their starting lineup, whereas Fulham played their second lineup.
Yeah.
Which you could tell.
I don't understand why.
Yeah, I know it's a quarterfinal of an FA Cup.
I don't understand
and
why.
And those guys, most
Adama
of those guys.
Adama Traore starts on the bench. Emile Smith-Rowe starts on the bench.
And Raul Jimenez
starts on the bench. It doesn't make sense.
I found that a bit odd considering that most of those players probably. Look, I think Jimenez would have played for Mexico. Yeah. Smith-Rowe, I don't think would have played. No, and Traore may have played for, I think he's Ivory Coast. I'll have a look. But yeah, I don't know if these guys... Oh, he's Spanish. That's right. He's Spanish. He definitely didn't play for the Spanish squad. So why aren't they starting?
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't.
It doesn't make any
sense. And they copped it for it.
Yeah, exactly right. So, I mean, that's how you lose a game, guys.
Yep.
Then we had the Brighton and Nottingham Forest game. Now, this is where
Can you sum it up in one word?
Dude, fuck, man.
That's two.
Not if I say it like, fuck, man. Because, dude, I had a choice. I'm like, do I stay up late and watch the Palace game? Or do I wake up early and watch the Brighton Forest game?
Wait, can you tell us again how it feels to be right?
Fuck, dude. I should have been right. Because I'm like, you know, I'll go to bed early. I'll get up for this fucking game. It was so boring.
It was a horrible game to watch.
It was not one of the teams took risk. Yep. They all just held back. They didn't want to push too many men forward. And they attacked in twos. It was retarded.
The first half, I was watching the highlights on Optus Sports. The first half highlights lasted a minute. Do you know how many shots they showed? Two.
Dude, two shots in the first half. I watched YouTube shorts because I was so fucking bored in the game. Look, so both teams had 13 shots.
Yep.
Forest had 5 on target. Brighton had 2.
That's bad.
The most exciting thing in the 90 minutes was a penalty that got overturned.
Now, thoughts?
Look, I'm just going to rag on VAR.
Well, let's just explain like the actual penalty itself. So I forget who the player was that had the ball, but he gets the ball, runs through. Matoma slides in with his elbow trailing at the back and clips the player's foot. He goes down, penalty. Ref gives a penalty, goes to VAR, they overturn it. Now, go.
He touched him. He does foul him.
Mm-hmm.
So is the VAR allowed to... say that's not enough contact.
Correct. That's exactly what they've said.
Yeah. So I'm like, so you're essentially saying there's not enough contact. But how many times have we seen where a player just gets touched, falls down, and they go, there's contact?
That happens a lot. Yes.
I agree it's not a penalty, right?
Yeah, I agree it's not a penalty.
I wholeheartedly agree it shouldn't be a penalty. It's ridiculous. The guy slides in front of him to try. It's almost like you're blocking a cross and then the guy runs into you and then falls over. I agree. It's not a penalty.
Mm.
But what I disagree with is that VAR can intervene and say there's not enough contact.
Mm.
Or go look at the monitor because he kind of touches him.
Yeah.
You go, well, you know, the ref saw it in real time, goes, that's a penalty. Now, it goes two ways with this because everyone complained when there was mistakes, when the ref made the mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And now we just complain. It's the same thing. VAR has not assisted this. It's just instead of complaining that the ref made a mistake, we're complaining that VAR made a mistake.
Well, I think that's a lot of the positives for VAR, for the refs. It takes so much pressure off them and it puts all the pressure onto VAR. But then you're criticizing a computer or like a guy behind a computer. Yeah.
And I mean, look, here's the thing. And we're going to get into this guy. Joe Barton's obviously been very loud on the internet lately with his podcast.
He's been loud his whole fucking career.
Yeah, I know.
It's just now he has Twitter.
Yeah, now he's figured out Twitter and podcasting. So he just jumps on there and just says outlandish shit about female pundits and fucking referees.
Yeah.
But he comes out and goes... He goes, why do we have a ref? Why don't we just let the entire thing be done by VAR?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I mean, it's kind of a fair statement, right?
Obviously, it's not going to happen, but it's a good point to throw across.
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. Because, like, you know, break down the Brighton and Forest game. It was a terrible game, all in all, right?
So, look, there was Brighton had a goal. They scored a goal in extra time.
One more point that I had to make. Brighton had 19 fouls.
A lot of fouls.
A shitload of fouls with only 2 yellow cards. How? How can you commit 19 fouls?
Maybe they were well spread across the team.
In comparison, Forrest committed 10 fouls and got 4 yellow cards.
Home ground advantage.
They were away.
No. As in like home ground advantage.
Brighton. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, look, game ended up going to penalties.
Yep, goes to pens. Forrest win 4-3 on pens.
Yeah.
Ryan Yates gets the last one, and Brighton advanced through to the semi-final. Forrest advanced through to the final, semi-final.
That's how boring it was. We just forgot who the hell advanced.
Yeah. I actually, when I woke up, I thought, like when I was re-watching the highlights, I thought Brighton had won because I totally did not give a fuck about the game.
No.
Did not care.
I was so upset that I woke up early for it. Like, you don't understand. Like, that's, I really wanted to watch some good English football.
Mm.
And I picked that fucking game.
He picked the worst game. Yeah,
dude, fuck, man. Then we had Aston Villa, Preston. This kind of went the way we thought it was going to go, to be fair. Preston,
so close to my 3-1. Dude, they had one shot on target. That was the one.
Yeah, I know. Dude, they did push hard for like the first 15, 20
minutes. 20 minutes, yeah. They gave Villa hard, a shake, yeah.
But then, yeah, look, as soon as Villa started getting on top of them, they just kept making errors.
Yeah, they buckled after that. And, like, to be fair, like, you know, Villa are a Champions League quarterfinal team, whereas Preston, they're in the Championship. They're coming 14th.
They're not even in the playoff.
Nah, they're nowhere near it. So they're kind of, they're a mid-table club. Villa's in the Champions League quarterfinal, so it kind of showed here.
And then this is what I found funny about it, right? Obviously, everyone's been saying how well Rashford's been playing.
Mm-hmm.
He's revitalised under Villa, and you know I somewhat agree. Mm-hmm. I think he's on the ball a lot more. He's beating players, dribbling and that sort of thing.
He is contributing more.
This was his first goal. This was his first goal. So yes. he got two goals. Somehow he's taken penalties now.
Yeah, off McGinn. Yeah. I think Rashford's a better penalty taker than McGinn. To be fair,
It always seems weird.
But look, he had 4 assists in total. In this, like, across all competitions. And now he's got 4 assists and 2 goals. Not bad. Not bad.
But no, his penalty was a nice one. He did the old no run up, tap it in a corner mm-hmm. situation. That was nice. And then you had Jacob Ramsey getting a goal in the 7th.
Yeah. So look, they scored 3 goals in 12 minutes. It was just a smash and grab.
Yeah. Yeah. And then once that was it, the game was up.
That was Preston it. Yeah,
just stop playing.
That's it. Yeah. So, well, I mean, like you look at like their stats. They had fucking Preston had 4 shots on target, 4 shots all yeah. game. You're just yeah. like, all right. Well, if that's how the game's gonna go, then yeah. Well, so then, yeah, Villa go through to the semi.
Then we had the game, arguably the game of the round for the FA Cup here.
Yeah,
Man City Bournemouth. I think we knew it was probably gonna be the game of the round.
Yes.
You know, Bournemouth had a point to prove. They're unable to do it.
Mm-hmm.
However, Haaland missing a penalty.
Yep. Well, Kepa saved it straight up. To be fair, like it was a strong penalty, but perfect for a keeper.
Yeah.
Straight in his bread basket.
Perfect height. Wasn't far enough in the corner.
Right in his chest.
Yeah.
When he caught it.
Yeah. And he held it too.
Held it straight up. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is, I mean,
that's hard,
especially for someone who has as much power behind it as Haaland does.
Correct. Yeah.
You know, then the ball kind of goes down the other end. Evan Nielsen gets a goal.
Yeah, 7 minutes later.
It was definitely off the run of play. Like, they weren't. Yep. It's not like Bournemouth were putting together good plays and good passes and kind of breaking down the Man City defense. They just whipped the ball in.
Yeah.
Evan Nielsen got at the end of it.
Yep.
And then, you know, Haaland gets his retribution. Gets a goal.
Yeah, he gets it just after halftime.
And then, you know, Marmoush, who's been a great buy for him, gets the second.
He's really starting to pick up now. And so Haaland gets his goal in the 49th minute. He comes off 12 minutes later, which we now find out is an ankle injury.
Well, he's out for the season, right?
Who'll be out for, I think they put it down to majority of the season. Depending how the season goes, I'll probably rest him for the rest of the season. And then Marmoush comes on. 2 minutes later, he scores off who I think we need to mention, Nick O'Reilly.
What a game.
Yeah, so he...
He's definitely the man of the FA Cup for Man City.
Well, he came off the bench at halftime.
Yeah.
And he comes on for 2 assists. Not bad for a 20-year-old.
Yeah, 100%. And both the assists were very kind of professional assists, right?
Like, they were good, yeah.
He steals the ball off one player
yep.
and then links the ball, kind of just dinks the ball beside another defender mm-hmm. to an open Marmoush for his goal.
Yep.
And then on the Haaland was just a very professional pass straight into his feet. So
he's quick. He's got a good left boot on him. So
I mean, City keep finding these players. They've got that McAtee. Mm-hmm. They've got obviously O'Reilly. They've found Phil Foden.
They had Cole Palmer.
They got that Rico as well.
Rico Lewis.
He's okay.
I was expecting a lot more from him, especially he's getting a lot of game time this year.
Yeah.
I was expecting a bit more, but they are still they're picking up some really good young players.
Yeah.
And if they can complement them with the players that they buy in, then obviously next year they'll be dangerous again.
100%. Yeah. 100%. So, you know, that kind of wraps up that quarterfinals of the FA Cup. So we've obviously got the semi-finals coming up.
Yes. Which is very interesting.
The matchups are fantastic.
I think this is the way it's been done is perfect.
So 27th of April, we've got same time being played, Forest versus City.
So do they, I thought they played at Wembley. Both of them? I'm going to have a look at that.
That is a great question.
Yeah, that's right. I'll find it.
They clearly can't both be playing at the exact same time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, it's a Royal Rumble of football. So yeah, the first game is Nottingham Forest and Man City. I think that's a fantastic match. Yeah, I think both teams are going to be able to
challenge. That's going to be a really good game.
To challenge each other very well. I think either team could beat in that game. It's going to be a hard one. I'm going to back Forest because I think it'll be able to win it.
Mm.
I would
love to see Forest win it.
100%. And I think if you beat City, you go into the...
Have you seen the guy? There's a guy in England who put money down on Nottingham Forest to win the FA Cup and to finish in the top six.
And he wins like £20,000 or something?
Yeah, they're like £25,000. Was it 5 or 50? Whatever it was. He's, but they've already offered him a cash out of like $5,000.
No way. Because if they win this and they go to the final,
they're going to be favourites.
Yeah, 100%.
I think they'll be favourites.
100%.
But yeah, Forest City will be a really interesting game. Hopefully Forest, because Forest played this morning and won, so they're on a good little run at the moment. So it'll be real interesting to see how they go. Also, I have looked it up. They both do say the same
time. They both say that they're playing at Wembley.
At the same time. So there has to be an error. I'm sure they'll fix it up. Surely. I think the way it goes is one after the other. But
it would make sense.
They'll fix it up.
It would make sense, yeah. But then the other game being Palace and Aston Villa.
Again, another very interesting game.
Well, I mean, look, Villa's been in decent form coming into the game, but they've had a bit of an easier run in the FA Cup.
Yep.
They've obviously still got Champions League as well.
Yep.
So how much that kind of affects them, because they're going to have two Champions League games prior to this.
Yep.
But... Palace is informed, dude.
Well, I'm just going through their recent run, right? So they've won their last six games in a row, including a friendly. They've won 8 of their last 9, and they've won 11 of their last 13 games. Teams they lost to, Brentford and Everton at home, which they easily could have won.
Yeah.
So that's Palace. And then you look at Villa, right? Villa at the moment, they've won 6 in a row. They've won 7 of their last 8.
Fuck.
They're not pushovers either. And
the
team that they lost to, Crystal Palace. Yeah. So both teams super in form. And to be fair, Forest in form too.
Look, if I'm picking anything, I've got Forest in the City game. That's maybe from my heart. And I've got Palace in the
I would love to see Forest Palace as well. I think that look. City Villa, I think, are the two bigger teams out of both of them.
Well, right? I mean, they're both in the Champions League.
That would be, yeah, correct, yes. So that would be the bigger FA Cup final. But I think for like, when you want to see young, like smaller teams succeed, you want to see Forest and Palace play against each other.
100%.
100%. And then if either team wins, and look, to be fair, if both teams make the finals, that just shows you how well and how above their weight that they've played this year.
No, 100%.
Nobody was expecting Forest to be coming third at this stage of the season, and nobody was expecting Palace to be one of the most informed teams at the back end of the season. So,
well, and I mean, no one expected Mateta to score the amount of goals that he scored.
Nope.
No one expected Munoz
came out of nowhere
to just get the assists and goals that he gets. So,
no one expected Chris Wood to have the best year of his career.
No. No one expected City to suck so bad.
Just shows you how crazy this year's been.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I'm really looking forward to those FA Cup semi-finals. Should be good.
But I thought, before we move away from the FA Cup, I've just picked up 9 of the most successful players in the FA Cup. I want to see if you can guess, you know, who some of these players are. You should be able to get some. There's quite a few from your club in there.
Yep.
So, you know, why don't you rattle a few off and we'll see who you can get.
All right, let's do it. So these are the most successful.
So they've won the most trophies for a player.
For a player, okay.
For a player.
Well, obviously, if I'm going off my team, so you'd have Petacek.
Number 2.
You'd have Didier Drogba.
No.
No? Okay, you'd have John Terry.
Number 3.
You'd have Frank Lampard.
Number 9.
You would have, then so that's the Chelsea core. Then you'd have like Giggs.
Giggs, number five.
Yep. You would have Scholes.
He's number seven.
Yep. You would have Rio?
No, Rio.
So I got five, right?
So you got five at the moment.
And then if we're going off, say, De Bruyne?
No, De Bruyne.
So no City player. Okay.
Let's just say, so Frank Lampard at nine has four.
Okay. So I've got four players left.
Yeah, you got four players left. You've got you got an Arsenal player in there. You've got two Arsenal players in there.
I'll say Thierry Henry.
No.
No, I don't think so. Tony Adams?
No.
Ooh,
more recent.
More recent. Giroud?
No.
Let's go with it. Oh. Walcott?
No.
No. Is it around that team?
Well,
I mean, he played for a few.
An Englishman?
Yeah.
That was for Arsenal. And he got a Dutch player.
Bergkamp?
Bergkamp is number eight.
Number eight, okay. And then an English player. What about Wayne Rooney?
No, Wayne Rooney.
Okay. So an English player for Arsenal. Not Ox.
Older than that.
Older than that.
Yeah.
Oh, so like around Henri's time?
Well, he's won four.
Yeah.
So 1993, 1998, 2002, and 2003. So quite old. Also played for England. One of the legends of England.
No. Seaman?
David Seaman. Oh, yep. Yes. Got it. And that's number six.
My second favorite drink.
Yeah. now you got a Frenchman who won it with Arsenal and Man City.
Arsenal and Man. Oh, Nasri?
No.
Ooh, damn. Okay. Was it around that time?
I'm pretty sure he won the World Cup France as
with
well.
France. Zagna?
No.
Because Arsenal and Man City took a lot of Arsenal players.
Yeah, they did. They took the good ones.
Arsenal, Man City, and he's French. Alas. I'm going to go pass.
Okay, Patrick Vieira.
Ah, Patrick Vieira. I totally forgot he played for City.
Yeah.
Because he went Arsenal, Inter, City.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Then, so Arsenal, Juve, Inter, City.
The number one.
Yep.
The number one, seven. He's got seven. He played for Arsenal and Chelsea.
Arsenal and Ashley Cole.
Yep.
Yep.
Now.
Ashley Cole, bro. The fucking left back goat.
Dude, it's. I mean, his exit from Arsenal was hilarious. And again, it's typical Arsenal, right?
Mm-hmm.
He went to Arsenal and said, here's what I think I'm worth. And they went, yeah, we're not going to pay you that. And Chelsea's like, we will.
We tapped him up, actually. We got fined for that because we were so keen to get him. We tapped him up.
And then all the Arsenal
fans. We did give him William Gallas, though.
Yeah. And I love all the Arsenal fans like, you're a dog. And he's like, no, I wanted to stay.
Yeah.
I said, I would like this much money to stay. This is what I'm worth. And then they went, fuck you. No, you're not.
And you know, at the time, he was competing with like Roberto Carlos as like the best left back in the world. And Patrice Evra.
It was an insane player to let go.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't even like, you know, we're complaining about the whole Trent saga. Liverpool are offering him more money.
Mm.
You know what I mean? We are actively going, we want you to stay.
Mm.
How much do you want? And he's going to go, he's going, I'm going to go to Real Madrid.
Yeah.
You're a dog. Because this is the opposite. Where Ashley Cole's like, this is how much I want to stay.
Yeah.
If Trent's in that situation, this is how much I want to stay. They go, okay.
Yeah.
Sweet. And then he stays.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The different, but all the Arsenal fans went there like, fuck you, you're a dog.
Bro, the best, it would have been like this. It would have been like, I want to stay here at Arsenal. And then they go, oh, we want you to stay too. But not for that much money.
Yeah. What are you, fucking crazy?
Nah, he was one of my favorite players when he came to Chelsea. And obviously he killed it. He won everything, literally everything. Europa League, Champions League, FA Cup, League Cup, league title multiple times. The guy was, for me, still the best left back in Premier League history.
I mean, it's hard to argue the point.
Right? Him and Patrice Evra, I think, are the top two for best left backs in Premier League history.
Forgetting about Andy Robertson.
I am forgetting about Andy Robertson. Good point. Yes. Yes, I am.
All right.
Is it This Is Your Lifetime?
Well,
player it's profile. Not so much time.
This Is Your, I think most people are gonna know this guy. We've already mentioned him earlier in the podcast. But Joey Barton, our hero.
The man
himself.
The fucking sleazebag, the England's scumbag.
Most psycho player, as we're naming him. So look, he's made the news.
Spoiler alert, will that be the title of the
Joey Barton makes the news?
No, I thought it was gonna be England's most psycho player will be the title of this episode.
Yeah, that's a good one. I think we can go for that one. However, so the former England player, Joe Barton, has this week been found guilty of assaulting his wife by kicking her in the head in their family home. So this...
Must have thought it was a ball.
So Barton, 42,
yep.
Right? He played for clubs like Newcastle United and Queen's Park Rangers, Man City,
yep.
Just to name a few.
Yep.
Had... pushed his wife to the ground before kicking her in the head in June 2021, an incident that happened at their home in southwest London. So he obviously fronted court for this. He's been found guilty and charged. He's now going in for 12 weeks in prison, which is on a suspended sentence for 2 years at Westminster Magistrates Court. What a hero. Now, the whole comedy side of this, obviously beating your wife's not generally comedy,
mm-hmm.
But the whole comedy side of this is that Joey Barton's now getting mocked online because he had a tweet that he posted up in 2015 saying men who hit women are shithouses.
Yeah, it's just, you know how, when like, would you call it karma? Would you call it, oh, I know what it is, when irony just comes around.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It could be Joey Irony Barton. That's what we'll call him. But I thought maybe I should just dive into this guy's kind of career a bit. He had a pretty lackluster career. There's not a lot of trophies.
Look, I'm looking at his career, right? Look who he played for. So mm-hmm. he was a Man City junior,
uh-huh.
Right? So he had 125 games and 14 goals with an asterisk next to it because it may be a little bit inaccurate. Then he went to Newcastle. He had 84 games, 8 goals. Not anything to shout about.
No.
You know, one goal every 10 games.
Not at all.
Then he went to QPR on a free. Now, this is the season when... Is this the season? Was this the season when he decided to go spastic in the last game against Manchester City and started kneeing and he punched Tevez? And
I've got a few. I've got a few of his on-game, his in-game kind of antics here.
Oh, good.
So he tops this as most famous for his bad... So this is what he's famous for, right? His bad boy image and it really showed on the pitch, right?
Yep.
So he... After hacking Paul Green during a game between Man City and Doncaster Rovers, he started a 10-man brawl on the pitch in which his manager, Kevin Keegan, quite a respected manager,
yep.
Had to blast him post-match. Then another incident in which his temper boiled over in 2004 at a Christmas party where he stubbed a cigarette out on a City youth player named Jamie Tandy's eye.
That's fucked.
Yeah. Nice. He was docked 4 weeks' wages amounting to £60,000 and charged with gross misconduct.
Did Jamie Tandy get that money? Because I think he deserves that money for getting a cigarette put out in his eye.
He put a cigarette out in his eye.
Fucking poor cunt. This poor kid's like, I just want to play football. Oh, this is Joey Barton.
Yeah.
Shit.
Puts it out. So then he had many run-ins with fans, but proved to be a difficult character for his teammates. His City career effectively ended in 2007 after a fierce training ground fight with Usman Darbo, which left Darbo with head injuries and a detached retina.
Why is he fucking with people's eyes?
Dude, I don't know.
So he's got former teammate, a youth player, and his wife.
Yeah.
He's fucked all their faces / eyes up.
Yep.
Okay, this guy has a clear problem. Yeah. Also, I like how you put in there the former one-cap England international, one game he played.
Yeah.
So clearly, you weren't that guy.
No, dude, he's never been that guy.
You were just a psychopath.
Yeah. He still is a psychopath, apparently. Beating your missus at your family home, kicking her on the floor. That's insane, dude.
Yeah.
And then probably the most significant Premier League match in history was in May 2012. And while he was at QPR, he caught Sergio Aguero with a high knee before clashing with Vincent Kompany in Manchester City's famous 3-2 comeback win to steal them title.
Yes.
This is obviously, was it Gabby Agbonlahor or someone that was there on his team at the time? Now, he's already gotten into an altercation and he threw a punch at one of the players on the pitch.
I think it was Tevez.
Yeah. And then...
I think he hit Tevez, yeah.
And then they've come up to him and said... the captain said, look, listen, if you're going to, because they already knew he was going to get red carded. Yeah. So just take one of them with you.
Yeah.
With the intention to say, get them to swing at you so someone else gets red carded. That's when he just walks up to Aguero
yeah.
and just knees him straight in the thigh
yeah.
and then throws a punch at Vincent Kompany.
Yeah, bro. Proper psychopath.
Insane, dude.
It was funny because in that time, it was 1-0 up to Manchester City. Then this happened. Everybody thought, City's going to run away with it and they're going to win the title. Lo and behold, QPR actually played better without Joey Barton on the pitch.
Yeah, of course they would. They're like, whoa, the game's not stopping every 2 minutes because this guy's kicking people? It's insane. Oh,
fucking hell.
But one more before we kind of move on from Joey Barton.
Yep.
Now, it came out this week. Now, we all know the Sidemen. They're obviously YouTubers and all that type of stuff. They put on a charity match every year to raise money for charities including BBC Children in Need, Brightside, and M7 Education, which are all, you know, big charities with Hey, now they put it on a week before the Carabao Cup final. They raised £4,733,004.
Nice,
right? However,
Barton, £5 million. That's good. That's good.
It's hard to argue. They sold out the stadium, right? And they sold it out in hours.
That's good.
It was a 9-all draw.
Oh, that's awesome.
Let's just say the skills.
Is that the one game where it's like speed?
And I show speeds in it.
Yeah.
You know, the Angry Ginge is in it.
What's the other YouTuber's name? The streamer.
Kai
Sinat was there. I saw him there too.
So they're all in it. Yeah. None of them are really great at football.
It's a charity thing, right?
It's for charity, right? So they sold it out. They almost made £5 million. Now, this is Joey Barton's reaction. Right, so he's reacted to a video on Twitter of the winning penalty by writing, "How is Wembley rented out a week before a League Cup final for the retard?"
Oh my god!
He's the epitome of let's not think, I'll just speak.
Oh my god! Is he serious?
Insane to me.
Oh, what a fucking moron.
It's insane to me. It's like giving. You know when you get the Instagram reels and it's clearly a handicapped person that should not have the ability to be going on the internet.
Yeah.
And then they're like trying to pretend to be Power Rangers and stuff. That's him. Except he tries to pretend like he's a pundit.
Right.
And he just says, because this is the same guy that went there and started saying, I drive a car, but I can't commentate on the F1. And that's in response to women commentating on football.
Oh, okay. Okay. I see where you're going with that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, he's outspoken. I respect that. But
you know who else is outspoken? People with Tourette's. Okay? Because people with Tourette's say this shit. You know, they walk through the airport going, I have a gun. And everyone
that
goes,
is Joey Barton, yeah.
He has Tourette's. But he doesn't have Tourette's.
No.
He's just a fucking idiot.
He's just a fucking psychopath. Yeah. He should not be anywhere near anything to do with media or social media.
No.
Anybody that puts him, that gives him a platform to say what he needs, needs to have their head checked.
Well, I mean, this is also still the guy that mooned all the Newcastle fans, right?
You know what else he used to do as well? He used to try to make fun of Zlatan. So after QPR, he went to Marseille to get out of England, right? He went to Marseille on loan. In his first press conference or his second press conference, he starts to talk in a French accent. Dude, you've been there for a day. You don't have a French accent. Then he tried to bully Zlatan Ibrahimovic and started making comments about his nose.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh yeah, big nose. And Zlatan goes, yeah, same size as my dick. And you're like, Joey, just stop. Right? You were nowhere near a Zlatan. Don't try and fucking big up Zlatan Ibrahimovic, okay? So he's just a fucking pest. He's a piece of shit. He's an ex-Premier League player who got moved around from club to club, had a semi-successful career, zero trophies, one England cap. Dude, just go hide in your hole and have your sexist/racist remarks to yourself.
Yeah, go beat your missus in peace.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just keep it out of our limelight. You're wasting precious podcast time.
Well, why don't we jump into our fantasy league teams?
Or do you want to do round 31?
Why don't we do our tips after?
All right, let's do that.
Right, we'll get into kind of where we're at this year, then we'll put our tips forward because we've got kind of two rounds to cover next week.
Next week is going to be full of games.
Oh, yeah, 100%. look, here's my team for the week at the moment. And to be fair, after three games, I'm actually doing okay for once.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens by the end of it. But look, sales and goals got 8 points. Fantastic result.
So you didn't make any trades, right?
I did. I made one trade.
Oh, you did make a trade?
I took Beto out of my team and I brought Mateta in.
Great move because Beto had great upside and it led to nothing. Led to one goal, I think.
Dude, he scored like, what, 4 in 5 games or something, or 5.
When David Moyes first got in,
he first got in, and I thought, well, I better put this guy in. Mm-hmm. I put him in. He got one goal against Man U and then proceeded to do nothing miss one-on-ones.
He proceeded to just miss the goal. he missed so many one-on-ones.
What a fuckwit. I'm on 15 at the moment. We've got Sells in there. Gabriel came off injured in the game, which we'll detail next week. But
which is going to clearly cause them some issue when they play Real Madrid.
Yeah, they're going to have fun with that, dude. But, I mean,
Kiwior could bend Mbappe, right?
I forget that guy's in the team. The only good thing about him is he's missing some kind of twerking champion.
I love that for him.
Yeah, good for him. At least he's got something happy in his life. None of the Arsenal fans do, that's for sure. I'm on some good points. We'll see where I end up for next week.
Nice.
Here's yours for this round. You're on 11.
Yeah, look, the only thing I'm upset about is that obviously I would have taken the automatic 8 points because I got Sells on my bench.
Ooh, yeah.
Right? But I do have Henderson playing against Southampton. Now, if they keep a clean sheet, I'll get double with Henderson and Munoz. But look, I got Semedo, kept the clean sheet, and then I had Bruno, who didn't do shit today, and Gibbs White, who kept the clean sheet, but didn't do anything. So,
and we've both got Solaris captain.
Solaris captain, I think, was pretty straightforward. We'll see how the rest of my team goes. I think I have too many Bournemouth players in my team for now, but I do have two trades coming up for next week. So I'm going to wait until these games get done, and then I'll make my trades for next week, Friday afternoon.
Perfect situation, my dude.
Yep.
But before you sign off, why don't we just throw our tips up there?
Yeah, because like you said, we've got games today, tomorrow, Friday. That's round 30. And then Saturday is round 31. So we've got to get our tips in now.
Yeah, well, that's it, right? I mean, I wish I could wait and just hope that no one gets injured and that type of thing.
Yeah, look, we're just backing off what we think is happening now. But
if we do any late changes on our tips, we'll just whack them up on Instagram.
Yep.
Check them out there.
Yep.
But match day 31, so the first game we've got Everton and Arsenal.
Yep.
I've gone a draw in this.
I have also gone draw based off the fact that Everton still haven't been defeated yet, that they haven't played you guys yet.
Correct.
Also, they're at home and now Gabriel's out, plus Arsenal have the Real Madrid game.
And do you even think that they'll play Saka?
I think we'll get 30 minutes.
Any normal manager would not do that. As we've seen, Mikel Arteta does not understand.
He likes to outthink himself.
Yeah, he's just like, we can win the Premier League still. Dude, just focus on the Champions League. It's your best hope.
That's it.
And just, hope for the best.
Look, I think Saka will get 30 minutes just to get him warmed up for the Real Madrid game because he came back today and scored, which is nice for Arsenal. But look, I just think with too many games plus with the Champions League coming up, I'm going to go draw.
Well, we've both gone draw on that one. Then we've got Ipswich and Wolves.
Yep.
I've gone Wolves in this one.
Yeah, I've gone Wolves as well. Look, Ipswich are 6 or 9 points. I think 9 points away from Wolves, which means they're out of relegation. Wolves had played an extra game. But
Wolves win this, they're essentially safe.
Pretty much, yeah. So Wolves will be pushing to win this game, kill off any chance of a comeback for Ipswich.
And is Cunha back?
Cunha, maybe. Maybe, maybe, maybe. Maybe, baby.
Well, while you look that up, we'll go in the next one. We've got Palace and Brighton, which I think...
Great game.
Is a massive game.
Great game, yeah.
But I think Palace is more informed than Brighton at the moment.
Palace are more informed than Brighton.
But they do have a lot of games. But Brighton have the
same Brighton, amount. Yes.
Same amount.
So because of all those reasons that you just said, go for a draw.
I've gone Palace.
Yeah, so we got one different.
Then we've got West Ham, Bournemouth. Hard one. I just think West Ham's not in good enough form.
Sorry, just to go back to
Wolves.
Cunha should be back.
Yeah. So I think if Cunha's back, it's easy Wolves.
Yeah, so I've gone with Wolves in that, yep.
Then And then the next game, we've got West Ham, Bournemouth.
Mm-hmm.
I think West Ham is in shit of form. Bournemouth's not much better.
Yeah, look, like I know what you're saying. Like West Ham, when you look at like their runs, like they've won, they've lost, they haven't won in three. They lost to Newcastle, drew with Everton, lost to Wolves. All good, all fair. They did beat Arsenal back then, but Bournemouth have not won in six or seven games. So because of that fact, both teams sucking, draw.
I've gone Bournemouth.
Yep.
I still have faith in them.
Yep.
I've been following them. Then we've got Villa and Forest.
Another good game.
Another huge game.
It's a good game, yeah.
It's another huge game. Just don't see either of these teams. That's my issue with it. I think either team can win. I just don't see either team drawing.
So who have you gone?
Villa.
I've actually gone draw. It's funny you say that.
Yeah.
So the way I see it is that I think Newcastle, I think Forest will be set up really tight defensively. It'll either be a nil all or a one all game. I know Villa are scoring a lot of goals at the moment, but I don't think they've played proper competition.
I think
Forest will give them that proper competition. So I'm going to go with a draw.
Then we've got Tottenham and Southampton.
Spurs.
Yeah, Tottenham.
Yeah. Just leave it at that.
Then we've got Brentford and Chelsea.
Now, tough game. I'm going to stick with my team blindingly. It should be a draw, but I'm going to go with Chelsea.
I've gone Brentford in this.
Yep.
I've gone Brentford.
That's fair.
Whistles on fire. And Mbembo's dropped off a bit, but still gets a sit.
And Mbembo's still there, you know what I mean? Look, they haven't been too flashy at home recently. They actually haven't won a home game since December. But Chelsea just aren't playing like a team that you can back.
Under-21s and two games in a week doesn't make it easy.
No, exactly. So obviously I'm going to stick with Chelsea in this one. I think it's a 50-50 game. I think a draw would probably be most likely. But I'm just going to stick with Chelsea.
Then we've got Fulham and Liverpool.
I've gone Livo. Look, Fulham, that FA Cup game was terrible. Then they lost again today to Arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't see getting any better considering you guys are pushing for the title.
Well, that's the thing. I think, you know, it's one of those things. We've won our next games.
You've sewn it up, yeah.
So, you know, Liverpool, that one.
Yep.
Then we've got Man U versus City. Massive game.
Now, look, this could be a good game for an upset, but Man U just do not have... If Bruno Fernandes doesn't score, they got nothing. Yeah. Like, actually nothing.
As we just saw.
Yeah, which they played today. They had 23 shots today, could not score, and Bruno Fernandes was a big part of that.
Dude, their striker has less goals than their center.
Dude, the best is he has less goals and assists than Edison, the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
How does a goalkeeper have more goals and assists than a fucking striker?
Yeah.
Crazy, bro. So, look, because of that, man, you just aren't playing well. City are still pushing for top four. I've got to go City.
I think Marmoush starting up front is going to be...
Well, just a spoiler alert, I'm putting Marmoush in my team once I get my second trade up. I just got to work out how to do it.
Oh, yeah, look. If I can do it, I'll do the same thing.
Man. Yep.
So, yeah, we've both gone City in that
City,
one.
Yep.
Then, final game of that round, we've got Leicester and Newcastle.
Any Southampton Leicester game is the complete opposite of whoever they're playing. I'm all over.
Because the thing is, it's just like, you know how you can make big money? Pick who scores for Leicester. Bro, pick a striker. They're paying like $5 to get a goal. It's ridiculous, dude. Because it's so shit.
But that's pretty much, that sums up their whole season.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, look, until next week, man, we've got plenty of football to talk about. Hopefully some gossip. Stupid.
Look, to be fair, if we don't have much gossip, not a bad thing, because we've got 20 games to get through next week.
And also, we've got a bit of Champions League.
We will have the first leg of Champions League too. Yep. Fuck, we've got 24 huge games to get through.
It's massive. It's massive. So,
everybody get ready for a big, big episode next week.
Listen to us talking all of our opinions about shit. All right. Thanks, everyone. Peace out.
Thank you.